Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along. It's the Monday episode, but if you're IFS, you get it on Sunday evening this week. But we're not pissing about because I need to go and watch the snooker. You've beaten the football today, Sam.
Yeah, not worth dwelling on.
No one to talk about it.
Although I did have a great sandwich.
All right.
I decided in all the years, I think West Ham been at the Olympics then for 5 years now, and I've never driven there, ever. I've always got the train.
Yeah.
But I thought, I'm going to give something a bit different a go this week. Mm-hmm. So you can't park around where that stadium is because it's in a sort of a concrete hellscape that is far from anywhere. It's like how you imagine a dystopian future to be, right?
Yeah.
And forget trying to park near. So what I did was I went back to the old manor, the old sort of places that we used to go when we were at Upton Park.
Or the bowling ground, as they sometimes call it.
Yeah, they sort of started calling it that towards the end. It was strange. It really was. Anyway. There's a pub in a place called Plaster called the Black Lion, which is very much like a time capsule back to the old East End. Right. It's like not changed at all, right? At least that's what it was like last time I was there, which was 5 years ago when we were still going to Upton Park. We used to meet there before the game. There's a fantastic picture, famous picture of this pub in the 60s with Bobby Moore and every other known famous Cockney of the time, all crowded in, including Eric Sykes and Alf Garnett.
Wow.
Right?
But
all
not,
crowded in at the
but
bar.
But not the Craze.
The Craze weren't there because that was a different part of the East End. They were in Whitechapel at the Blind Beggar.
I see.
Slicing someone's throat to make sure the streets were safe for old Violet and her friends. But anyway. That's as may be, but I've never taken them there before. It's a great little pub, and I knew that it just was one of those pubs that just never ever changed. And I said, well, I remember going there once before a game and ordering a sandwich and in a pub, an old-fashioned pub. You know, it's a bit can be a bit of a lottery ordering a sandwich, but I'll always remember this sandwich. It arrived on a sort of, you know, Andy, like a sort of an oval-shaped plate. It's like a mini platter. You know, like the sort of plate you'd have a platter served on?
Yeah.
It's like that shape, but normal man size, like just for a single man, right?
Because like a pub sandwich in the East End, I would have expected it would be on a plate with one of those see-through plastic circular lids, the deep lids that go on top so you can see them, and they just take the lid off, and it's a sliced bread, sliced white, with some ham in it and maybe some marge.
Yeah.
There's your sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're not miles off. It's certainly in that ballpark, but it's more, there was more love gone into it. So it wasn't all curly and stuff. But the last time, say 6 years ago or something, right, I went there and I had a ham sandwich because I was still eating meat at the time. And it came and you're thinking, it was £3 and I'm not expecting much. I'm basically expecting, at best, what you just described.
Yes.
But this sandwich arrives, right? An old Cockney woman comes out from the back, right? Let's call her Nana. I don't know what her name was. I just called her Nana. Thanks, Nana. I'm fucking cool with that, you cunts. I'll have your fucking knackers off. Oh, sorry. Right? So she comes out and it's like, I could tell she just fucking made it. I could still see the crumbs on her pinny. Right?
Oh.
And it was a ham sandwich with like a generous amount of ham, thick white bread, but very fresh, right? Cut into triangles and arranged in the nice way.
Buffet style.
Right? You know what I mean. I can't describe, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Four triangular sandwiches all in a row. Salad garnish and a very generous handful of crisps.
Nice.
Free. That was part of the £3.
Right.
So I was blown over by this sandwich. And when I got to the ground, I was going to everyone who sat near me, mates, have you ever had a sandwich at the Black Lion? No, no, mate. Fucking incredible, mate. Four sandwiches cut into triangles made by some old nana out the back, right? Salad garnish and a free, generous handful of crisps. Guess how much? £3. I was fucking brilliant, right? Freshly cut sandwich. You wouldn't believe it. And I told the sandwich a few times until in the end, someone intervened and said, Sam, stop fucking telling us about the sandwich. We've all fucking heard it. Every cunt's heard it.
Sandwich intervention.
Literally, this story is very simple. You had a ham sandwich. That's it.
Yeah. But you really liked it.
I was doing talk sport on the Monday with Paul Hawksby, and I told him this story, but I was very careful to tell him it in the context I've told you. I was like, you know, this is a... I got censored at the football for telling a ham sandwich story so repeatedly that it became... People were so bored, they became angry. You can sometimes get angry out of boredom, can't you? And that's what I've done to people. I'm sure I've done it to you lots of times, right? And
I never got angry. And
in the end, like, Paul Hawksby said, well, let's do a phone-in item today called the most boring stories of all time, and we'll kick it off with you telling your ham sandwich story. And I did, and we got a lot of responses, mainly from people, not their own stories, but people telling us the times they had to sit through mates' shit stories, right? Anyway, I told my son this shit story, but he was quite into it, and we rocked up at the Black Lion today. We walked in. They had Heineken Zero on draft, which is very rare, right?
Fantastic.
And then I said, are you doing any sandwiches at all? Right. And I'd built this up to Len so much. The look on his face was like, they fucking better be. You got me up early and we've driven all the way over to the fucking arse end of London from Barnes. There better be a fucking decent sandwich in it for me. And they go, yeah, of course we are. As if, what do we look like, cunts? Of course we're doing fucking sandwiches. So I said, all right, show us the menu then. So I went, fuck, because Len's favourite sandwich, egg mayonnaise. And I fucking told him, I said, they'll have an egg mayonnaise.
That's a top sandwich. You know,
yeah,
that's
he
a
loves
top
it.
Sandwich, that is, egg mayonnaise. Really
I'm
is.
Not, I've never been a huge fan of it, to be honest. I mean, no. I'm not against it, but it's never one of my first choices. But he fucking loves it. And he's got, look,
years,
I said, look, they've got egg mayonnaise.
Ago. Sam, years and years ago, before Greg's got a little bit above its station and started doing little pots of carrot sticks and all that, Greg's used to do, I mean, this probably was just in the northeast before it went global. Greg's used to do, do you know what a stotty cake is, don't you?
Are you familiar with it's like a cake? Roll, isn't it? Is it a roll?
It's a round,
what we'd call
it's a
roll.
Round sort of flattish kind of loaf. It's kind of like seven
like
inches in diameter, but it's circular, it's a big,
I think we'd call that a
two
bap.
Or three. Nah, we'd call a bap a bap. It's like 7 inches, like a 7-inch single.
There is a huge amount of regional differences over the way in which people describe various bread things.
Yeah, I don't think you can get stotty cakes anywhere else, though. You'll have to Google it and have a look later on. But anyway, they used to do kind of a third of a stotty cake, and it would just have egg mayonnaise in it and two slices of well-cooked bacon across the top.
Oh,
God,
nice.
It was fucking great. Oh,
yeah, the bacon
man.
Makes it.
I might have to try and make that myself this week. I'd forgotten all about that till we started talking about egg mayonnaise. Sorry,
anyway, the
continue.
Whole set, they brought them over. It was the same deal 6 years on, and I can bet you in that picture of Bobby Moore and Alf Garnett in the Black Lion in the 60s, they would have been the same deal then, and probably the same nana making them. And she comes out... Mm. But Len clocked the price. He went, so the barman heard. He went, Dad, it's £4.60 now. I was like, fucking £4.60? You should still be grateful. Ooh. If we had that in fucking Barnes, it'd be 15 quid for fuck's sake. And it wouldn't be half as nice either. They brought it out, £4.60. And I got extra crisps, and they served Tato crisps. You know those Irish crisps? They're quite hard to come by, certainly in London. So I got a bag of those, which you'd never tried before. So... The game, it was a cracking game if you're a neutral. It's a fucking amazing game. But obviously I was gutted about the result. But I think the sandwich and introducing my son to Tato's was sort of made up for it. And also it reminded me when I was looking at the packet of Tato's, which are made in County Armagh in Northern Ireland, mm-hmm. is that their HQ is Tato Castle in Armagh, Andy. You know about Tato Castle. It's a big fucking castle, an actual castle where they make these crisps. And you can go there and do fucking a tour and watch the crisps being made and buy loads of Tato-related merchandise.
Wow.
I mean, and there'll definitely be listeners who've been there. We have some listeners in Northern Ireland. So get in touch and tell us more, because it feels like the sort of place I can imagine us doing a pilgrimage to one day, Tato Castle. They've got a picture of Tato Castle on the back of the packet.
I mean, I've had Tato's before and I really like them. They're in the same realm as Walkers, aren't they?
They're great. They're absolutely great.
Flavour-wise and texture-wise.
There's something fun about... Yeah, they are. I would compare them to Walkers. But they've got more... Walkers feel like such a corporate crisp now, don't they?
Yeah, they do now.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, we looked into it, didn't we? Because Walkers are owned by Pepsi. Or Pepsi's Shell Company or something
so
like that.
Gone are the days when it's all like some lovely little Leicester fucking family business. Yeah. It's a corporate crisp. Whereas Tato's, I don't know who owns them, but I feel like it still feels like a fun family crisp. Do you know what
family
I mean?
Family crisp. I'm looking at Tato Castle now and I like the look of it. I like what I see.
Yeah.
I like
imagine doing
I
an
see.
Episode live from Tato Castle, mate.
Okay, now, we fucking... have like headsets on and stuff. I was watching the what are they called? The hairy bikers. Those two northeastern fellas who go around cooking stuff and being affable.
A couple of lads.
With the banter and everything. And they were riding around on their bikes on the one I'm watching the day. And they have like headsets on so they can chat while they're biking. So they'll have headphones and microphones and they have proper conversations while they're biking with each other. That's what we should
that's
be
lovely.
Doing in Tato Castle. But
we should get
motorbikes,
a couple of
obviously.
BMXs and do that. And then
ride
film it and on a GoPro and send it in to ITV and see if they're interested. Here's the pilot. Call us when you've got a budget together.
Tato Castle tour on TripAdvisor, which admittedly, you know, it has its flaws, TripAdvisor. But Tato Castle tour, out of 293 reviews, 256 are 5 stars. 27...
I mean...
are 4 stars, very good. It's only got 3 average, 4 poor, and 3 terrible out of 293 reviews.
People speak...
That might be one
in
of
Ireland,
the
people speak
finest.
In hushed tones of the Tato Castle tour, mate.
Yeah. I don't
they
even want
really
to look
do.
At the terrible it's... ones. There's 3 terrible reviews, I don't want to look at them.
Don't Go bother, on, it'll be something personal like, oh, my wife dumped me while we were there. It's like, well, that's not fucking Tato Castle's fault, is it, you cunt?
I'll
be something like that.
I'll read the 3 1-star reviews for you, and I'll read them in a Lampard voice, if you like. First one.
Of course.
Horrendous. I've never written a review before, but felt compelled to after our Tato visit. It was very disappointing. despite the initial nonsense of so-called attempts at cleanliness and safety, brackets, wearing a hat, taking jewellery off, it proved to be dirty, smelly, noisy, unsafe and disgusting. Has put us off all crisps.
Oh, fucking hell. That really is. Wow. That is a big fucking statement.
Oh,
I've never I've hated this so much. Not only am I not eating a Tato again, I'm not eating any crisps,
any crisps
ever again. And they must have liked crisps to have been at a fucking crisp factory tour in the first place.
Fucking
sensational
hell.
Claim.
I mean, I thought that might have been a COVID post-COVID review, because it says cleanliness and safety, wearing a hat, taking jewellery off, but it was November 2018, so Tato's been clamping down. Here's the second review. Went to visit Tato Castle today from Scotland with the 4 kids, met with a locked gate, spoke to a lady on the security camera to be told you have to come back next week and you need to book. Would have been nice to have been told this on the website. Tato, get yourself sorted out.
Yeah, Tato. Have you seen Mr. Tato? How could you get the hump with him? Have you seen him?
I know. Yeah.
With his little fucking he's red hat on.
Isn't he?
Yeah. You could not. Imagine getting the hump with a man like him. He's fucking just, he's full of life and joy. Hello there.
He's like the,
would you like to come in and see my crisps being made, would you? No, I would not.
In my castle.
Your castle is horrendous. Oh, that's a shame you feel that way. Because we are very happy working there, you know. And there's nothing that brings us joy more than distributing our fine, fine crisps to the hungry folk of Ireland and occasionally the rest of the United Kingdom. Although it is hard to get on the mainland. I don't care. I think it's disgusting. I think it's dirty. I think your concessions to hygiene are a sham. And worst of all, it's extremely noisy. Where are the crisp machines? So they do make a lot of noise, so they do. There's nothing we can do about that. I bet Walker's isn't a noisy factory. Well, go and fuck off to Walker's castle then. See what you get there.
You've tested me patience though, you cunt. Go on, fuck off. Fuck right off.
I don't even know why you came here in the first place. Plenty of other fucking things to do with your kids.
The final terrible review on TripAdvisor of the Tato Castle is day trip was okay. We'd rather have visited Dublin again. It is what it is. The guides were friendly enough. The guides were friendly enough, though that's what they get paid for. Apart from free, tasty, yummy... There's more. Apart from free tasting yummy Tato crisps you could munch on the way round, I wasn't that taken with the place. It's a fucking castle. What's not?
It's a fucking castle that makes crisps. You absolute cunt. You'd have rather gone to Dublin, would you? Well, fucking go there then.
My God.
Fucking go to Dublin.
Yeah.
See how many fucking free crisps you get there. None.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
And I tell you what kind of bitter outlook do you have on life if you have to say, when someone's been nice to you, well, that's what they're paid for, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you can take that line of thinking even further. I mean, a mate of mine once said to me that he thought that there was no such thing as any nice people, because even people who did kind acts were only doing it to make themselves feel good.
And that's isn't it?
I think it's horrible to think that. Just don't allow yourself to think that. Why would you even allow yourself to think it? Choose not to think that.
Yeah, yeah. It says more about the person that says that, I think, than anything else. Not that I'm casting aspersions on your friend or anything, but...
Yeah, I think he was going for a bad phase. I don't know if he'd say the same thing today. This was many years ago. Mm. But look at Mr. Tato there. There's no way I could look at him and think that he wasn't a kind, crisp man.
Absolutely.
However,
I mean, we have said on this podcast with you. I was going to say, we have said on this podcast that 97% of people are cunts. You know, we have said that before. But,
I don't know if I think... The 97% aren't necessarily cunts. They're just sort of, I don't know, dim...
arseholes. Pricks.
Anyway, when you watch Get Back, we haven't talked about that in a while, and I know this has probably been well discussed, but I haven't had my say on it yet. You can't help but feel let down by George Harrison, right? Because George Harrison, we all went through a phase at one point and went, oh, George Harrison's actually my favourite Beatle.
Yeah.
Because when you're a teenager, it feels like a counterintuitive thing to say, doesn't it? Because you think, actually, something. Yeah. While My Guitar, Jenny Wimps, actually the best Beatles song, right?
Yeah.
Actually, you know, it's probably one of their more pretentious songs, really. Do you know what I mean? But anyway, that aside, we've all had our faces. And you all think, oh, George Harrison, like the other two, you know, John Lennon could be a bit sort of belligerent, and Paul McCartney was a little bit sort of corny, but George, he was so spiritual, he was the cool one, and he was so funny. Yeah. He had such a dry sense of humour, man, and he was so spiritual. All right, number one, fucking beyond Elton John behaviour. That I'm going, I'm leaving the band. No one's taking me seriously. I'm not hanging around here. Why can't I be writing all the songs? I'm going home. If they want to see me, they'll have to come to my home and beg me to come back into the band. That's number one, right? Number two, and this for me is almost the worst thing where I just thought, nah, I'm done with you, Harrison. They're all fucking trying to get this album together. McCartney is quite rightly shitting himself. She's like, look, we've got fuck all, and you lot are just dicking around with your thumbs up your asses, right? The bloke who I've warmed to, as I'm sure everyone did watching it, and we've talked about in the podcast before, is old Mal, right? Their roadie mate slash security dude. And he's got a million and one things to do, by the way. Like, he's busier than any of them. Middle of it, no cunt other than McCartney's bothering to actually do any work. George Harrison pipes up. Mal, go and get me one of those lacy bow ties.
What? Yes.
I need one of them lacy bow ties. Yes. Go and get me one. What, now? Yeah. Go and get it. Next scene, George Harrison sat there in a lacy bow tie. Why? Why the fuck do you need, when there's an album to be made and you've been moaning that no one takes you seriously, why have you sent that underling, right, to fucking go and source you a lacy bow tie in the middle of a recording session, right? You fucking prima donna. Evidence three. What do you want for lunch? Ringo, I'll have some mashed potato. Bit weird, but fine. when they said, what do you want for lunch? I was fascinated because I'm thinking, what did they eat in the 60s, right, for lunch? Because it was before, like, anyone said, get me a salad. I was like, what would celebrities have eaten in the 60s? Because they mainly eat toast and marmalade and sandwiches, which is great. I bet they're not as nice as the sandwich I had today, but still. And Ringo goes, I'll have some mashed potato. And they goes, right, what about you? And this is George Harrison. I want cauliflower. But Mal, get them to make some cheese sauce to go on it. Ooh, you want some cheese sauce on your cauliflower, do you? Fucking hell, who are you, Liberace? I don't want... Fucking hell. Oh, I'm just the down-to-earth scouse, aren't I? I'm just from the streets of Liverpool. Get me some fucking cheese sauce on my cauliflower, la. Right? So then I'm thinking, fucking hell, first the bow tie, then the storming out, now the cheese sauce on his cauliflower, and just as I thought he couldn't get any lower, this happens. Mal, where would you go about getting just some normal leather shoes?
Yes, the shoes, I thought you'd missed this. Yes.
And he goes, oh, well, there's at Bond Street, I've got a load of shoe shops. Right, okay. He goes, well, maybe you could go there later. Yeah, I don't want to do that. I tell you what. Go up there and get someone from the shop to come here with a selection of shoes in a size 8, and I'll just choose some.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, he's got those fucking Hare Krishnas sat in the corner, right?
Yeah.
And he's giving it all that, sorry, lads, I'm a bit too spiritual to hang around with you lot anymore, right? Because I've become really enlightened, right? Bow ties, cheese sauce, and fucking shoe selections being sent to him non-stop. The bloke's a fucking fraud, mate.
Why can't he send one of the Hare Krishnas up the shop to get the shoes? That's what I want to know. They're doing
fuck all. You're both fucking sat on your ass doing nothing.
Yeah. Mal Evans, he transcribes the fucking lyrics.
Yeah. You know, and he's doing the hammer on Maxwell's silver hammer.
Yeah. Hits the anvil. Fucking hell.
He's doing all of it, and those fucking Hare Krishnas are sitting there doing fucking 8/10 of fuck all, right? Yeah. Sitting around sneering, by the way, as well, like, oh my God, these people are so, like, unenlightened. Yeah. Not like George and us.
Their music.
Oh, really? Well, they're the ones fucking writing all-time classic songs while you're sat there sneering and muttering, doing fuck all.
Mm-hmm.
How are you earning a living?
Yeah, he was paying for it. Yeah, yeah, donations probably. Wandering George, Oxford probably. Street with the fucking finger symbols, shaking the tin. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I felt let down by George Harrison in Get Back, to be honest.
I'm the same. I think the whole the cult of George Harrison almost has got a little bit out of hand over the years, where it's everyone says, well, he was just as good. Well, you know, the first album he put out was All Things Must Pass, which was really good, but then after that it was increasingly diminishing returns. So all them songs he'd been stockpiling during the Beatles exhausted pretty quickly.
All Things Must Pass is a very good album in the context of anything other than the Beatles.
Yeah.
Because actually, it's a long album, that album. Is it a double album?
It's a double album. It's too long. Yeah.
Most of the songs would not get on a Beatles album.
Correct.
There's a couple of songs on there, mm-hmm. right? There's obviously a song, All Things Must Pass, and what's the really famous one on there? I've forgotten. There's a couple of songs where you think, okay, yeah.
My Sweet Lord.
I could see... Yeah, My Sweet Lord, exactly. Those are both songs that would squeeze onto a Beatles album. The rest
my
are
Sweet
good
Lord,
songs, but
which later on it established he'd nicked from a song by the Chiffons, and that would give them the publishing credit on it. So,
oh, for fuck's sake, it gets worse and worse. Absolutely worse and worse. My fucking Sweet Lord. Well, he originally called it My Cheese Sauce,
there's
probably.
There's a couple of things about Harrison in that documentary that struck me. First of all, he hasn't got any confidence in the songs that he's presenting. He's kind of really shy about them, and he's not saying, I've got this song.
And then he gets all arsey about it.
Yeah, exactly. And he says that the previous album, the White Album, was the first time he said, the first time I'd made an effort to contribute in the recording. So the narrative's been established throughout the Beatles' career that George plays the guitar. Yeah, he's really good, really charismatic. He writes a few songs, but he hasn't been put the shift in. So from
he's happy to sit back and live off fucking Lennon and McCartney's work.
To start whinging about it now is a bit fucking disingenuous, because, you know, they've got the established dynamic in the group. And there's a great sort of bit in the third episode, I think, where you've got Paul and John together and they're doing some of the old rock and roll songs, but they're writing on something. I can't remember what it is, but they're creating a song. And they're face-to-face, which is what they used to be when they always talk about when they used to sit on two chairs facing each other and knock out these songs. And you can see it's
still almost sexual, I think.
It is. It really is. It's that dynamic again. And the fucking intensity between them is fucking incredible. And I'm sorry, but they've navigated the entire Beatles career on that
dynamic. They've been doing that for years.
Yeah.
They've been doing that for years. You can't walk in and go, actually, I want it. Yeah. I want to stand there and do it with you.
Yeah,
Because I just want to now, and if not, I'm going.
Yeah, the whole reason why they are the Beatles and everything that's gone before everything they've done is because of that dynamic between those two doing it like that. Yeah. So I'm sorry, George, but you know, you get your song or two on an album, and that's all you're going to get.
I know, and he's like lazing around, sulking. Ringo had the right idea. Ringo, I noticed, was the first there every day. Turned up, you never heard him complain. He looked bored shitless half time because he wasn't called upon to do much. But when they did start playing, he'd be straight there, pick up his sticks and start tapping along.
I was open for some of the famous Ringo witticisms in it, but he just doesn't say anything, does he? He just sits there.
I think he's passed it by then.
Yeah.
I think he looks really bored and a bit knackered and a bit like, fucking hell, let's churn another one out.
The best bit is when Linda's daughter turns up. Mary, I think, and Ringo has some fun with her because she hits the drum when she's right next to him, and he like jumps startled in surprise, and that's really funny. That's one of the best bits in the whole thing. But calm down, George, and the whole cult of George, fucking no.
They're all sort of fun, like Lennon with one of the kids as well. I think maybe Heather McCartney. No, it's Heather McCartney who's there, Heather, which is Linda's daughter. Yeah, and. She's there, and John's very funny with her as well, and he's having like a silly chat with her.
Yeah.
Just talking nonsense like you do to kids sometimes to amuse yourself as much as them.
Yeah.
Right. And he's very good at that. But George is sort of sulky. He's obviously, I reckon the Maharishi's got in his ear and started going, well, I don't think they take you seriously, and I think you should demand more respect from them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's not Yoko that's the strip.
But they were
onto
him because Sexy Sadie was about the Maharishi, wasn't it? They go, it was originally called Maharishi because McCartney and Lennon, they knew he was a fucking... Chancer. He was a scam artist, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
He was a grifter. Like you get these days on the... It'd be a, is Maharishi still going, mate?
No, is I he think still he's dead now, surely.
Is he still operative?
He's got to be dead. I don't know.
I tell you if he was still around now, he'd be bang on the Twitter, wouldn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He'd be grifting for money a different way.
He'd be on Twitter. He'd be on LBC. He'd have his own weekend show, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he died in 2008. So
he'd be popping up on GB News once in a while as well.
Yeah, he'd have a Patreon.
Oh, my God.
But what was I going to say? There was something else I was going to say. No, it's gone. But, I mean, we'll come back to get back again, I'm sure, at a later date.
Again and again.
Again and again. Oh, no, yeah, that was it. It was my daughter's like, I started watching it with my daughter, and she said, they're just sitting on ordinary chairs. They're the Beatles. Yeah. They're just sitting on normal chairs. George hasn't even got a chair. He's on the drum riser on a cushion. What?
Yeah.
What? And then that just adds to what you've just said. Ringo's eating mashed potato. They're the Beatles. They can have anything they fucking want.
Yeah, he could be like, go and get me a fucking swan.
Although, to be fair, I don't know how rich they actually were because they got fucked over on their publishing and stuff like that so many times.
I think they were pretty rich.
They could have afforded more than mashed potato.
They perhaps weren't as rich as they might have been, but they were fucking rich. I mean, you see like George Harrison's house out in like Surrey or wherever, and it's fucking... They were living in mansions.
They were.
And I saw an interview with Paul McCartney from like about 4 years before that when they were still... when their hair was still relatively short and all the rest of it, and he was on a chat show with David Frost, and he was going, what would you do if this all went away tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
And McCartney's just sort of going, well, I wouldn't actually have to... none of us would have to work
retire
again, obviously, so we'd find something else to do. So you think they're already fucking minted. They're just not as minted as they maybe should have been.
Yeah, although getting back to Ringo and his mashed potato, he's probably a man of simple pleasures, because when they went to India to hang out with the Maharishi, Ringo just took a suitcase full of baked beans with him, didn't he? Tins of baked beans.
Did he?
Because he wasn't keen on Indian food.
Oh, no, I'll play havoc when we got...
And then there's the bits in this where they're talking about going to Libya or wherever, where Matey Boy, the director, wants them to do the amphitheatre show. And it's like, no, Ringo's not going abroad.
Yeah, he hates abroad.
He hates abroad.
He's made it a fucking man. And I love the way they all respect each other as well, because there's no kind of like, well, Ringo's just going to have to fall in.
No.
John Lennon and Paul McCartney going, listen, he's just not coming, so we're not going. It has to be a unanimous vote.
Oh, man. So,
fucking great.
We'll leave it there. A quick update on the prediction league from the weekend. You just got the 1 point. I managed to predict Sunderland's results, so I've ended up with 7 points this weekend in total. And results bot got 0.
Have you caught me then? What have you caught me at the top of the table?
I've gained a bit of ground because you streaked ahead last week.
Yeah.
You were 7 points clear. No, you got 7 points more than me last week, and I've got 6 points more than you this week, so it's kind of redressed the balance. You're on 72, I'm on 68. Results bot's on 45, languishing at the bottom of the league. So
fuck him.
There we go. Right, that's it. I'm going to watch a snooker and put this episode out for the
thanks
IFS.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah.
Stay brave for the week ahead. It's probably all going to turn out great.
Oh, it'll be lovely. We're going to do some of your dad waking stories today, but we didn't get right into it, so we'll probably do them at the end of the week.
We'll squeeze them in later in the week. There's some good ones.
As we always say, there's no rush. We're not going anywhere in a hurry. So thanks for listening, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.